listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
For CJLO News, I'm Marie Gloria-Strikeman. Parti Québécois deputies were refused entry to the Salon Bleu. They tried to join the parliament yesterday morning, and security blocked them. The deputies refused to swear allegiance to the king, which is required if they want to sit in parliament. They had hoped the president of the National Assembly would let them in. On Wednesday, the president did not give a definitive answer. She said, "We'll see tomorrow." But on Thursday morning, she told the head of security not to let the deputies in. They left without a fight. François Legault plans to propose a bill to end the swearing of allegiance next week. However, he says, this is not his or Quebecers' top priority. Until the bill passes, the Parti Québécois deputies will not have access to the Salon Bleu. As Egypt's COP27 closes, eyes turn to Montreal's COP15. COP15 is a UN conference on biodiversity. It opens in Montreal on Wednesday. Less well-known than COP27, it will also be less popular. No international leader has confirmed their presence. China is at the head of the conference, but did not want to host it. They also did not send invitations to any world leaders. As scientists predict a sixth mass extinction, they urge countries to create a plan to protect biodiversity. This plan should establish objectives for 2030 and the ways they will be implemented. The topics of the conference include protection of land, reforestation, and durable fishing and agriculture. Baguettes are now protected by UNESCO. This week, they were added to the Intangible Cultural Heritage List. Baguettes have been a symbol of French culture for decades. France assembled more than 200 endorsements for the baguette. This includes poems, letters, and even children's drawings. Despite this news, French bakers are worried. Baguettes are becoming less popular in rural areas, as local bakeries are replaced by big supermarkets. Bakers also worry about the rising price of wheat, which is impacted by Russia's war in Ukraine. For more, visit CJLO News and CJLO Podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
CJLO, 1690 AM. Apologies, everyone, because you know what just happened? I was here, I was chatting about things, and I forgot to put on some bed music for this. And that is the most important thing about what we're doing here. So, hold on. Let's do this. Yeah, that's it. Much better. Much better. We got some bed music going. We're going to be doing this. We have a nice calm atmosphere beneath it. The second hour of the show here, Great A Explosives. Let me tell you what you just heard there. Before now, because, you know, that's what we do here. You heard I didn't even mark it down here on the sheet. That's how we're doing things here. We're doing bad, everybody. Not doing good. You heard some Anna Pess and Colin McAndrew, Beyond the Storm, off of the latest EP that they put out, Amour Beneath the Cold Dead Sun, which I have to say those ways because, you know, once you say it one way, that's how you have to say it. All the time. That's just the law. I don't know if everyone knows that, but that is how radio works. Once you do things one way, you can never change it, ever. It's like, much like society. You can't change society in any way. You have to keep it exactly the same forever, always. Anyway, I'm joined here today by a guest in studio because I can't just come in and do a live show and not have someone come in. What would even be the point? I mean, I could just do this from home. But not today, because I am joined by a very special guest here who has just released an album this past Friday. It's called Burn. It's from a band called Misora, and I actually forget if he has a pseudonym that he uses, and if not, then I don't know. But I'll let him intro himself so that in case he does have one, he can use it. And if not, then I just waste all of your time for no reason. So, good sir, tell the people who you is and what you do's in Misora.
Hi, my name is Zach. There's no pseudonym.
All right.
From the band Misora, I sing, I play guitar, I write the songs, I do a decent amount of the heavy lifting.
I do most all of the stuff.
I do most of the stuff, yeah.
So, yes, how has it been for you? What has been up in the Misora land, in the Zach world?
Well, certainly since last time we talked, Masora Land has been renovated quite a bit, gotten quite a makeover. Masora Land has been downgraded. Well, downgraded in a sense and upgraded to a two-piece because we don't do the live shows anymore with a full band. It's just a two-piece. But the new member, Sam Newman, drummer, takes on more of the behind-the-scenes duties where before I literally just did everything. but now Sam, it feels a bit more like an actual duo, a bit more of a partnership, much more so than before. So a downgrade and an upgrade. That's been new. New outfits, totally new style for the music, you know. Figured, you know, pandemic was a good time to be, sometimes you got to disappear for a while, kind of vibe and come back stronger.
Well, now that you've brought up the specter of it, let's talk a bit about the pandemic, which has obviously stopped, and there's not anything else going on right now.
Certainly
not going on at the moment. How obviously you've been able to go in, you've recorded a bunch of stuff, you've come up with like new concepts for the band. So was the pandemic fruitful for you? Was only a part of it? How did it kind of fare for you creatively?
Yeah, creatively certainly. Like I was already taking a year off. I'd been very fortunate to get a grant from the Quebec government to be able to just. It was not a huge sum, you know, but just to be able to live off of for a year and just work on a new record. That's what I wanted to do anyways. And the pandemic hit and then everyone started getting more money than I was getting anyways. So I was like, kind of not stoked, but whatever. I had already told myself this was a year that I was going to take to come up with the album. And because creatively, especially then, I was really, really doing everything myself. You know, I got to just hang out in my apartment, play guitar, discover like new bands. It was a real as a music listener was a big time for me because I started getting into so many styles that I never ever explored before. But you know, I was just discovering new stuff all the time, just staying home, and so for that I think that's why there's a lot of new, I guess you could say, influences on this record, because I my interests grew and I was like, oh, I want to put this, I want to put that, I want to do this kind of thing on the album instead of just like, this is a sick riff, you know. There's those who listen to the album will notice, like, there's far fewer riffs, I'd say, and it's more about textures and layers and atmosphere and whatever that comes from lots of different styles that I was able to dive into because of the time that I had.
I hear a lot of bands, especially, you know, from the pandemic, or I haven't asked this question, but I've seen people ask this in interviews where they're talking with bands and their band is saying, like, oh, yeah, we listened to a bunch of other music. And then they're very quick to add in after that, but that didn't really affect anything we were writing. Like that's something that Did you incorporate a lot of what you were listening into what you were doing, or did you try to?
Yeah, and I consciously avoided doing the same thing as The Door. You know, for me they're polar opposite albums. You know, I find it doesn't. Obviously, the spirit of it is still kind of there. Like I'm still myself, and I return to certain tropes and styles no matter what. But no, I consciously avoided The Door and consciously wanted to incorporate new things. That was partly why I was getting into so many new styles. And for me, it was really about creating an album that was totally different from anything that I'd heard before and had done before. So for me, it was really the thing was finding new stuff and going, that, I want to use that. I like this.
Is that kind of how you started it out? You're like, did you start off with, I want to make something that is the polar opposite of The Door, or did it morph into that as time has gone on?
I think around the time, well, because I don't know if you heard the single that I put out last December, Forever As I Beg. And for me, that was like the perfect The Door song to me that never made it on The Door. Like everything that I was trying to do on The Door and like, obviously lots of Opeth worship, you know, I felt like I really nailed on that song and I was like, I did it. Like that's, I'm done with this style. And around that time I started, I think I'd come up with the riff from Seed, that first riff of the album, just the big doomy, it's a dumb riff. Like it's just like power chords in one open string. That's the same tonic note as the power chord. It's stupid, but I really like the vibe of it. And it's like slow and not technical and like nothing like I would have done before. But there was something hypnotic about it. And I was like, I like this riff, cool. And then as we were recording Forever As I Beg and like working on that single that we did in like the Closer cover, I just kept coming up with other ideas that were like more textural and like, you know, atmospheric, I guess. Just it was really that one, the seed riff, after that I thought was sick, after having completed Forever As I Beg, which I thought was the perfect, like, progressive death metal song that I wanted to do. So I was like, I don't need to do this anymore. I had these ideas that just kind of came to me, and then the rest of the album was shaped around that idea. Yeah, consciously avoiding the door and that kind of style, all the, yeah, like long form songs and all that, and then going for something that's more, every song has its own signature and doesn't jump around too much, you know, like Seed sounds the way it does the whole way, Leeches has that one goddamn riff the whole song, you know, like it's, Winter has just this one rhythmic motif that permeates the whole song, you know, like that was the idea, instead of jumping around. Yeah, doing that kind of thing.
Let's listen to Seed, since you've spoken about it here.
Yeah, let's go.
We'll play that, and then we'll come back and we'll chat some more about you know, this live show that you have coming up.
Hell yeah.
You're going to be launching Burn at Turbo House on the 17th.
December 17th.
It's coming up.
It's coming up, 2 weeks.
And we'll talk about, you know, how a two-piece is going to make this type of sound.
Cause
I'm skeptical, but yeah. I'm willing to hear what you are going to tell me here.
You got it, man.
So here's some Masora off of Burn, which you should definitely listen to after this show. After
the show.
And here is Seed, and I hope you enjoy. Keep it locked. This is Grade A Explosive, CJLO 1690 AM.
We'll be right back. music lovers seeking an adventurous listen, shop at Phenopolis, a record store specialized in new and used vinyl and CDs. Whether you're into indie, jazz, blues, world, or experimental, Phenopolis has got you covered. Open 5 days a week and located on 207 Bernard West in the Mile End. Shoppers can also order online at phenopolis.ca. Delivery is available for all customers on Montreal Island.
Hello, friends. Do you enjoy sweet melodies gently caressing your ears like a summer breeze? Then go elsewhere, because here at the Noisy Lot, we listen to nothing but the loudest, angriest, and heaviest music this side of the Decay. Join me, your host, Oren Loft, as I take you through a ride of the heaviest and strangest bizarre assortments of music on CJLO 1690 AM.
The trail had been cold for weeks, and this was my last chance to unmask the spy. But what is she taking out of her pocket? A radio? And tuned to what frequency? 1690 AM? That's CJLO in Montreal, Quebec, my favorite radio station. And then I knew she was on to me.
I don't know how to feel about that ID. I mean, I kind of like it, I gotta say, but like, it needs workshopping, I think. But it's close. It's like just about there. Anyway, we're not here to talk about IDs for the station, or are we? No, we aren't. We're here to talk to Zach from Misora.
Yeah.
Who has come here live in studio, has braved the
cold weather.
Made my way
all the way to NDG, man.
All the way here, just to talk about this record.
Yeah.
And stop by. It's been so long.
See my buddy Andrew.
It has been. When were you here before? Like,
it would have been 2019, I guess. I think the door would have been out. Yeah, it must have been.
Yeah, it must have been
sober. Yes, I brought you a CD.
Yeah.
The album. Yeah, October 2019. Yeah. I guess.
Wow, that's
forever ago.
I know, right? Like,
I was a child.
Long ago, in a galaxy far away. I was. We were talking about this new record, Burn. We were talking about that. Yeah. And, there's a show coming up here.
There's a show coming up on December 17th at Turbo House with the Block Universe Theory from Quebec City. Mm-hmm. And then our friends Ignominy and Flesh Rhine, both from Montreal.
And you were talking about how now you're like a duo. And
yes.
You're doing live shows as a duo.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do that? Because like this record is, it's kind of big. It has a nice fleshed
girth.
Out feel to it. Yeah. A nice girth.
No, it's dense. It's very layered. Well, we obviously do it a little stripped down because there's a lot of backing tracks. You know,
right.
That's how we get away with it. Like, we play to a click. It's mostly the bass that's in the backing tracks, because most of the songs, it's like, if Sam does his drum thing, I do the vocals and guitar at the same time, we got the bass, like, most of the song is there. And then there's just extra guitars and whatnot, that's lead guitars and stuff. And the reason we started doing this is because we had a hard time finding people, you know, to play with, and some people, like, it didn't click with or didn't get the vibe. A lot of people joined because they wanted to play stuff from the door, you know, and then I'm like, no, it's like atmospheric experimental death doom now, and they're like, fuck you, I want to play riffs, you know. I get it, it's way less fun to play for sure this album,
right?
Like, just technique wise, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was just like delaying things forever. Like, I saw all my buddies, like, we're starting to play shows, I was going to shows, and I was like, when the fuck do I get to do this, you know, again? Like, do I just have to wait for the godsend of a bass player and guitar player to come? And then I was just like, fuck it, we'll just do it like this, you know. Nick Guérin, Dungeon Works Productions, mm-hmm. Offered us a show. It was our first show back that we played. It was like September 9th or something, I think. He had offered us that a few months prior to it, and we're like, can we do this show? We'll just, like, fuck it, we'll just do backing tracks. And you know, we're the two guys who came up with all the material on the album, so it's very, to me, it's very genuine to present it that way, even though it's somewhat fake, right? I understand that, but it's very genuine to me to have this. It's just me and my buddy Sam. We came up with this material. We present. We know how we want to bring it, you know, and it doesn't feel cheap to me, you know. It feels like the right way to do it. Like, I'd like, you know, to have a good guitar player and bassist who really understand and appreciate the material and have us flesh it out like that, but I didn't want to wait for that to come to start playing shows again. So for now, this is the vibe, and people seem to dig it. Like, you know, I don't have a problem with it.
Are you, I'm interested always when you have like a duo band that's doing things, because there's like, there's not a lot of room, since you have a lot of backing tracks that are doing more stuff for you, unless you're something like, I mean, even Death From Above has a bunch of backing tracks, but early in the day before they were doing that, it's just like them being messy on stage. You're less of like a messy band. So do you feel more like locked in when you're playing like that? Does that concept come to you? Or
I definitely think about it sometimes, like when I see bands like with lots of members, say, you know, that they don't need backing tracks, they don't need samples, they nothing, they don't play to a click, and they just like vibe, and then like maybe at the end of a song they'll jam for as long as they want. Like, that's stuff I really like, and I do really appreciate that element and would like to do it in Masora. Like, ideally, like, there'd be six of us, you know, and like someone playing keys, because there's like a lot of keys on the album, and there's like many layers of guitars, like maybe even three, you know what I mean? Like, the ideal actual live Masora band is like six people at least, but where we could do jams and be messy and like all that kind of stuff and catch up after each other, and like, that'd be super cool. But yeah, in the meantime, for sure, it feels somewhat constrained, unfortunately, but like I said, it's working within the circumstances that I find myself. So
yeah, you do what you gotta do. You must work within the paradigm you have.
Yes, exactly. Hopefully one day, yeah, we're like Ghost and we have 11 members and all that stuff. But at the moment, this totally works, and we can still, it definitely doesn't feel too much like I'm like playing to a click or whatever. It feels like the right way to do the songs, you know.
And now I know that this is the launch album launch for Burn that you're doing on December 17th at Turbo House. Does that mean then that when people come, it's going to be all stuff from Burn, or are you
we're playing Burn top to bottom, and then if people want, there will be a song, an extra song at the end.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Does that mean then when people come to see you from here on that you've closed the door and that there's no more of it? Or is there going to be like, you're going to throw it in every now and then?
I don't know. I'd like to still play stuff from the door, because I know people like those songs, especially the song The Door. We did plan on playing it like the past few shows that we played, but it didn't feel right, unfortunately. Like, I have the backing tracks and everything. Every time we did it in the rehearsal space, like, I just wasn't vibing for some reason, whereas I was like really feeling the new material, and it's like, maybe it's because it's new, maybe not, but like, I'm fine with presenting mostly stuff from Burn right now. Like, we'll see what happens in the future. I definitely think we should be playing some stuff from The Door, because it's cool. But this show is definitely going to be all Burn top to bottom, and then, like I said, secret song at the end.
Secret song. So everyone, you have to go to Turbo House to find out what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you don't go, I don't want to say it's FOMO at that point, but, you know, you will miss out. And
I think you will miss. Like, I don't often see like metal bands like this at Turbo House. Like, you know, it's mostly like punk stuff or whatever. But there's never like four bands that are like trying to be straight evil. You know, it's going to, some real goon shit going to go on.
I guess I should ask you, being that you're a band playing here, like, I often will check in with bands, and especially I haven't checked in now that the pandemic is kind of over, and there seem to be, there's not less places to play, but it feels a lot more kind of, I guess, stripped back from what I've been seeing from people talking about going to shows. Are you feeling that experience? Like,
are there fewer,
like,
places to play?
I don't think it's fewer places to play. I feel like that there's less people going. Like, I went to see Zeal and Ardor.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
because when I went to see Zeal and Ardor, I felt like there should be more people at this show. And that was not that long ago.
It depends on the show. Like, local shows have been getting really good attendance, you know? And, like, the thing is to, since everything's only been open again for like, what, 8-9 months, right? Like, there was a huge influx of shows in March and April that like everyone was going to anything.
Exactly.
Everything was full. All the like dance parties were full. Then there was a bit of fatigue, you know, summer was a bit more rough. Now I think there's an equilibrium where still a lot of people are still getting a lot of enjoyment out of it more than they would have before because of the fact that it's been lacking, you know, for a little bit. You know, people not showing up to Zealand Art are like, it depends on the draw. You know, there was the fucking Lorna Shore a few weeks ago, right, that everyone and their grandma wanted to go to and like, you know, still had 1,000 tickets, you know, at Club Soda or Corona and could have sold 1,000 more, you know?
I mean, it's weird. I never understand what sells and what doesn't anymore in this city. Like, I didn't understand before the pandemic, and now I really don't understand. It's like everything has gotten even more strange.
Yeah. It can be brutal. Like, for sure. It's hard to gauge, what you're going to be able to make money on, what you're not, what's going to fill a room, you know? Never know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the story forever, and it's just like...
Yeah, but then there's some stuff where, you know, fucking Metallica at the Olympic Stadium, right? They know that they can charge whatever and it's going to sell out.
Thanks, Ticketmaster. Like,
oh, my God. Don't even get me started, man.
I mean, I know you're very excited for when you are able to be a Ticketmaster band and, you know, get that money from it, but, you know.
That's cool, but Ticketmaster can eat shit.
Well, speaking of this show, let's play a track from Burn. What are you looking forward most to playing off of here that I can play for people and prep them for what's coming up?
I don't want to sell any of the rest of it short, but my favorite to play, I think, is Leeches.
All right.
Because there's like just these breaks, these big dissonant chords that I just really feel are personify what I was trying to get across with the album. Like extremely simple and like pitch black, you know?
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's play Leeches then.
Let's play Leeches.
And everyone, if you want to see this song live, you can go to Turbo House on the 17th and you can be like, yes, I would like to see this. Tickets are $10 in advance, $15 at the door, that's important to tell people.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're like, oh, is it going to be a free show or whatever?
Yeah, well, I'm just
it's
happy.
Practically
if
free.
It's practically free.
Like,
honestly.
I mean, $10 for four bands is... I'm always shocked as to how prices stay the same for locals all the time. I mean, it makes sense to me, but like...
I booked the show myself, and I just really want people to come out. I don't want to gouge people too much, you know? Like, I know other people are like, oh, well, we work hard and we need to pay everyone. Yeah. We're like, yes, I get that, but people need to want to come.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I'm happy if, you know, people come out to this and want to be there, and I don't want anyone to not come because they think it's pricey.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, for sure, it could charge more for four bands, right? But I want everyone to have a good time. I want everyone to feel welcomed. 15, even for me, is like on the high side for a local show. Like, we're not touring. We don't have to pay for gas. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's cool to be able to put money in our pockets, course. But I really want to put on a nice event that people want to come out to. So, and pay the bands, obviously. So I think at 10 in advance, 15 at the doors, it's a very good balance for me.
Well, everyone, there you go. There's an explanation so that whenever anybody complains about how expensive shows are, there you go. There's an explanation from a person who's trying to keep it low for you.
Yeah, keep it low. Like Fugazi.
So here's Leeches off of Burn. You can see this performed live at Turbo House. So do that.
On December 17th.
Yes. So enjoy this. Great A Explosives. We'll be back talking more with Masora. After this. Well, Zach from Masora. Not all of Masora, just Zach.
Most of Masora.
Most of Masora. Keep it locked. CJLO 1690 AM, that's some Masora for you off of Burn. That's Leeches. And I guess the real question here is, I'm taking the album title, Burn.
Yes.
And it's definitely like a suggestion or a command. But what am I supposed to burn? Calories? Churches? What is it that I must burn here?
A tree.
Trees.
There's a lot of references to trees in the in the record.
Masora advocating for burning trees since 2022.
Well, not burning trees. It's a specific tree of your choosing. You need to burn it.
All right. Okay. Just a tree.
Yes.
Everyone burns one tree, and that's it.
Yeah. Conceptually, it's about burning down your family tree.
Ah. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Wow. I didn't think this would actually go anywhere, but
yeah.
Now we've actually gotten
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So this is. We were talking with me. I don't remember if at this point, since we've meld together off air and on air things,
sure.
I don't remember if we were talking about it on air about how this record is, it's kind of collected by atmosphere.
Yes.
Would you say then that all of your songs, like thematically, are different and it's collected by it? Or is there a general theme for the songs as well?
No, that's the theme. Yeah. That's the theme of the record.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's just an idea that I thought was neat. Like, how do I explain this? Yeah, it's about, I guess, family pressures and being like thrust into the world. Like, there's a song Burning, right?
Mm-hmm.
The lyrics are burning beneath a golden sky, unearthed at last, set to wander down a barren path. Like, you don't choose to be here. You're mm-hmm. just born, and you're all of a sudden burning under a searing sun. Like, you're just here, and you need to figure shit out, you know? Like I said, like, family pressures, family tree, whatever. Like, there's nothing that necessarily is like part of my own personal experience or something that I think is to be taken literally. Like, it's just ideas that were floating around. I don't know why. And I thought it made for a neat thing to explore because it's not entirely removed from my personal experience either.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of all came together really nicely. And I thought it matched the, cause it's like a bit of a brutal thing to say, like, burn down your family tree, and it matched with the darkness that I wanted to achieve musically, you know?
Well, it's interesting because for a bit, I was looking into, this is going to sound like the weirdest thing, but I got very much into doing research on antinatalism.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Me too. Antinatalism.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's,
and
kinda,
I was
that's
like,
how this came about.
This, I mean, I shouldn't probably like this idea, but you know, I'm interested in it for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, not something that I necessarily prescribe to or whatever, but all the ideas, it just made for good material for me, I thought.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's for those that have no idea what we're talking about, antinatalism is kind of this
weird idea.
Yeah, this idea that people don't choose to be born, and so therefore it's actually immoral to have children is kind of the crux of it. There's more complex and less complex versions of
that's
it.
That's exactly
that,
what
that
the
kind
record
of
is about, pretty much. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like that, and there hasn't been a lot of bands that have kind of gone into that topic that I've seen. There have been a couple bands that have released single songs. I forget, there was one from the Netherlands. And of course, like, the Netherlands would be very much into, because it's like very far in one direction to do things. But yeah, it's interesting to have someone like even kind of delve into that, because it seems like such a, like, it seems like a concept that people don't want to look into at all, because like it is kind of toward an end of a spectrum. If you explore it to its natural end, it's like, well, then why should human beings be alive at all?
Yeah, right? Exactly. It's the kind of thing where you can totally follow logically and like, I guess every step of the way kind of agree with it, you know, like very Socratic that way, like, well, then this, and then thus this, and logically, and then at the end of it, you you end up with, well, you know, everyone should be sterilized and humanity should be over in 100 years. Like, and like I said, not something that I think we should necessarily go through with, but the ideas are interesting and in their own way sound.
and it is interesting to kind of get an idea and kind of follow it to its logical conclusion to see where it goes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like,
that's,
because
what I mean.
There's so many things there, people, like, even like there's these, you know, like all these right wing idiots who say,
sure,
like, who say all these ridiculous things about how, oh, well, you know, I'm not actually advocating for some terrible, like, genocide type of thing that I want against people that aren't white.
I just but if you keep,
but if you follow along to the end, it's like, well, how can you not see that that's what you're doing? So, you know, like,
which is why I will reiterate, not a core belief I have antinatalism, but an interesting topic.
An interesting topic. Yeah. Yes, as it goes. It's interesting to I'm surprised that someone else has kind of found this during the pandemic. But like,
I don't know how I got. I could not tell you how it started, you know. But it got me there.
I found it, I went with.
I landed on that Wikipedia page.
And then the rabbit hole went from there.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I really didn't rabbit hole that hard. Like, it was a few ideas. I was like, oh, okay, so this is a thing. Antinatalism, people believe in it. I had these other ideas. It's just part of the whole thing. But I definitely didn't do a ton of research into it either.
Well, it's also not a lot to do because apparently it's super new of an idea. Like, it's only been around since like the 90s, maybe late 80s or something.
Sure.
As an antinatalism. I'm sure somewhere in like the Greek philosophers.
Yeah,
there's
definitely some dudes are like, fuck it, dude.
This
shit sucks. Fuck the sun.
Let's all just be done with all of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. Yeah. Let's get off this depressing. Let's get on to something a bit lighter here. I was talking with you a bit beforehand, and like now for me, I have to start deciding, since I am the be all and end all of deciding this, what's been the best things of the year.
Right.
And I was, you know, I made the off joke that bands are releasing things in December.
Yes, us fools.
And I find, though, that, you know, there is always a logical explanation to, like, why something goes like this. What was it kind of for you to rehash this?
Why did the album come out in December?
Yeah. Like, why December? Because it's such a weird kind of time to release something, you know? Unless, of course, like, it is thematic in some...
Absolutely not thematic. No, I would have liked it to come out like much earlier. Like, honestly, it could have maybe even come out a year ago if there wasn't like pandemic delays and a bunch of weird stuff. And like I said, I didn't want to do shows for a while because like we didn't have a band, and I didn't want to release the record without having a show to do, and like all these things were like, the band felt like completely disjointed. Like, we had the record ready for the longest time, honestly, like mastered and everything. But, like, what the fuck do you do with it? Like, you don't have a band. You can't do a show. Like, we didn't have the funds to do a music video like we wanted to, which is going to happen for Burning. It's already been shot. Like, a bunch of stuff that I was like, well, if we do the album, we need this. And we just finally told ourselves, like, fuck it. It's coming out this date. We figured December 2nd because I wanted it to come out before the end of the year. You know, it's already been, 3 years now since The Door. Like, fuck. I didn't want it to take that long. So, like, before the end of the year, December 2nd was, like, long enough away from whenever we told ourselves that we just have to set a deadline and then the rest will come. It was really that. It was, like, you just need to set a deadline and figure the rest out by then. And so, you know, it's not the end of December.
that's true. That has always been very confusing to me. There's so many bands that are releasing things on literally the last Friday in December. And I know why that is, because they probably have some grant that they need to fulfill by putting it out. Yeah, I mean, I interviewed a band, Skullfist, I think.
Skullfist is a band.
Yes, but I don't know if
Skull
it was...
Mace?
No, Skullfist.
Okay.
JJ from Skullfist has a record label, and I think he put out a record like the very last week of December. And I'm like, why did you do that? That seems
like
weird.
Like to have a last expense in the fiscal year or something like that?
Well, it's basically because the way that Factor, Canadian Factors and Quebec things do is sometimes they're like, oh, we're going to set this up so that you have to have something done by the end of this calendar year. So it's like, I got to rush, got to put it out. And so that's when it falls. So very inconvenient, but you know. Yeah, it could be something like that, because I know you were talking about grants before, so who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
But that didn't.
That was before
didn't
the
have
pandemic.
Anything to do
yeah, yeah.
With this, unfortunately.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you never know. You never know.
Yeah, I'm just happy that it's out finally.
Yeah,
you know,
really.
People get to enjoy it a bit.
Well, let's do some quick commercials. We'll come back.
Hell yeah.
We'll chat. We'll get through the show, and we'll play something else from the record.
Sounds good.
And that'll be what we do. So keep it locked. Great Explosives. CJLO 1690 AM. Back with Zach from Masora after this short commercial break.
Get your COVID-19 vaccines. A message from CJLO 1690 AM.
The Go-Go Radio Magic Show. Every Friday night from 6 to 8 on CJLO.
This one goes out to the one I love.
See, I told you it'd be short. I told you it would be very short, all of you. You didn't believe me, and, you know, I don't want to say that you should trust me more, but you should. You should. I'm joined here by Zach from Misora.
Zach Dean from Misora.
He has a record that is having an album release at Turbo House on the 17th.
December 17th with Ignominy, Flesh Shrine, and the Block Universe Theory.
I think we've done well at talking about this.
Yes.
Almost to a weirdly too much degree.
Well, I mean...
But can you ever talk about something like this too much?
No, that's I've noticed, like, now that I'm more and more realizing that, like, music is a product, you need to advertise it and all this shit. Like, a lot of advertising is bombarding people with stuff. It's like saying... I realize, like, there's never anything where I see an ad once and I'm like, oh, cool. It's when I see it the 15th time, maybe, that I'm like, fine, I'll check out the fucking thing, you know? And that's just how it's brute force, you know, often. So, no, we talked about it not enough.
All right. Well, we will talk about it again here before the end of the show, for sure. But let's talk about something different here.
All right.
Okay. So, end of the year lists have got to come out.
Mm.
What has been spinning for you so far? I know I saw an interview that you did with Canadian Beats earlier, and you were talking about some of the stuff you were listening to at the beginning of this year.
Right.
What has
now
been...
I need to go into my Apple Music and see what I've been listening to, because I always forget. 2022, fucking... I really like the new Sam Smith Kempetra song, honestly. I think it's fucking sick. I think I got into a lot of stuff that's maybe more like 2020, 2022, like I was telling you before.
Yeah.
A lot of the dumb caveman death metal, like from the US, like Tribal Gaze and 200 Stab Wounds and Sanguis Sukabog. Lots of that. Bit of Jordy Kiefer, some stupid shit. I don't know if you know what that is.
I don't.
Botch put out a new song.
Yes,
I was very stoked.
True.
I unfortunately didn't like it that much, but I, you know, definitely was stoked for it. Oh, dude, I don't know. I always forget everything, and if it's what I listen to from this year or not, like, I don't know what else I could give you.
I don't know.
I always forget. It's same thing when I go record shopping. I'm like, what do I want to look for? I have to go through my phone to see what I've been listening, because I forget everything. Like picking up a guitar at Steve's, you don't know what to play.
It is weird that, like, I'm struggling this year to, like, really come up with a good list that really interests me, because there's a lot of stuff that I've been listening to, but it is not from this year. Like, this year seems like...
Yeah, I've been doing definitely a lot of catching up to a weird degree. I know there's more stuff, though. Fucking. Be interesting while I go through my phone.
Well, let's switch here.
Yes.
And do one more kind of... Because we don't have much time here left.
I see. We don't have many time.
Not many time.
Not many time.
I act, you know, I'm...
Oh, the new Bloodbath album. That was fucking sick.
Yes.
I was, like, really stoked. Because, like, the previous one, The Arrow of Satan is Drawn, I was like, I don't know. Like, they're getting old, you know? But the new one, I was like, oh, cool, cool. Good.
There was that new Behemoth record, too, that came out this year, and, like, it didn't even blip on my radar.
No. Wait, wasn't it, like, a live thing?
Maybe.
I don't know.
Like, I didn't even listen to any of it. Like, it didn't even register.
No, dude, honestly, Behemoth, I think that's a weird band for me, because I like their live show so much, and I like their vibe so much. Like, I think The Satanist is a really good record.
Yes. Oh,
like, that
man.
One's cool, because it's, like, you got his vibe. All the songs are different enough. The production's awesome.
Yeah.
I really like it. But a lot of Behemoth, like, sounds like Behemoth to me. Like, they're a pretty one-note kind of band, unfortunately, for me. And, like, you know, even that last one, I Loved You at Your Darkest or something. Like, the songs are cool, but, like, there's no reason to listen to that over The Satanist for me, because it's all kind of the same.
Yeah.
unfortunately.
Well, that's the thing too, and like we were talking about that off air, is that like metalheads, they like one of two things. They either like a band that stays exactly the same, or they change up all the time so they can get angry at it and then eventually go, oh yeah, I loved it the whole time.
No, it's very weird.
And like, have you gotten, I know that you were talking about how people really liked The Door, and how you, I don't know if you expressly said that you were worried since you were changing up the sound a bit, but have people responded to it positively, or have they?
People have responded to it positively, but I think like...
Is it a different subset of people?
It's a different subset of people. Like the people who I know really like The Door, I haven't really...
Heard
from them. I haven't heard from them. I haven't like seen, you know, I'm not saying they're definitely not stoked. You know, I've been meaning to check in on like specific groups of people, you know, that I know like The Door. But up to now, I haven't heard anything from them. So, you know, maybe I was right, but whatever. In the end, like, I'm happy with the record and The Door still exists, you know.
Well, I know I said this last time, but perhaps next time you come in, you can you can schedule with your bandmate.
Right.
And we can go into, we can send you over here to the studio, and you can do a live session.
Oh, that'd be cool. Oh yeah,
maybe.
Sure.
We'll see. We'll
Why not?
How it goes.
You only need like two microphones, two dudes.
That's it.
He's gonna play the cajon to do an acoustic version.
And of course, we'll need to plug in the theremin that we have, and like,
Is there a theremin here?
No.
Oh fuck.
But that's the next Masora record, right? All theremin all the time.
All theremin all the time. Yeah, dude.
Well, I know that people, you know, they can check you out at Turbo House,
on December 17th.
What else is, do you have anything else planned? Any other shows you're going to do? What's kind of the videos coming out
video,
at some point?
Well, at some point, yeah. It just got shot this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Excruciating day. I hate video shoots, man. Yeah, that's going to be sick. Other than that, yeah, like I'm definitely planning stuff for April-ish, like March, April, early spring, with some friends from some other cities, you know, trying to do a little bit of a run, have the homies here, the homies take me out over where they reside. No concrete plans yet, but like, you know, when you're talking to a million people about a million things, like we'll see what it turns into.
It's all about scheduling.
Fuck.
So much of bands is about scheduling, apparently.
I know. It's like, do I want to play in Kitchener 5 months from now? Maybe.
Maybe.
I guess I need to plan for it now.
Well, let's play one more track here
off
of Burn so that people can get a good idea of what they're going to hear at Turbo House on the 17th. Tickets are $10 in advance, $15 at the door.
That's it.
Four other bands are playing.
Three other bands.
Three other bands are
four
playing.
Four bands
total.
Yes.
There we go.
There
Math
we
go. Is hard.
Very hard.
I didn't do good at it, so apologies, everyone. But what should I play here? What should I play to end this off with?
Well,
to get ready
we were talking about the music video. The music video is going to be for Burning.
Okay.
So might as well go for Burning. It was the lead single. I thought it was the most single-esque song on the record, so might as well end with that.
The most singly of the singles.
The singliest single we got.
So everyone, catch Masora when they play at Turbo House. Or you won't be able to catch them until at least next year.
Yeah.
And you don't want that.
Nah,
you won't be stoked.
That.
And plus, like, album release, it's always like a party, you know?
It's going to be sick. We got the dudes from Quebec staying in the apartment upstairs. It's going to be a whole... No one, like, we can just leave our gear downstairs. We don't need to drive back. It's going to be, absolute party.
That is the... Turbo House is so good for doing
that. Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Turbo House.
Thank you, Sergio.
I really hope that this continues to catch on, because then maybe bands, when they come here to North America... from Europe won't say things like, it sucks touring in North America.
Right. Yeah, I know.
But, yes, it has been good to chat with you.
Yes, you
and
as well.
Hopefully
Had
you
a
will,
ton of fun.
Hopefully you'll come back in the near future here and we can talk about some other stuff.
Yes, I think we got stupider as the show went on, so I don't know what'll happen next time, for sure.
That's how it goes. You know, you start off very serious, then you ease into it, and you get more into what you're naturally like. And for me, that's dumb.
I
bring out the dumb in others.
Yeah, there you go. You've had a terrible influence on
me. What have I done? What have I done, everyone? I'm sorry. I apologize. Anyway, here's some Masora. I will catch you all next week where I do a pre-record. I'm going to air an interview that I did with Swedish band Omni of Halos, which will not be anything like Masora because they're doing like 90s grungy stuff. So
that's cool.
Be ready for that. And here is this. Catch Masora at Turbo House 17th. Thank you again for stopping in.
Thank you, man. Super fun.
And I'll catch you all next week. Have a good one, everyone, and stay safe out there.